There is a lot to talk about the role of Qum in promoting Shiaism. Qum was the center of hadith of the Prophet, God's peace be upon him and his progeny. It was even more prominent than Kufa in its ardent adherence to 12 Imam Shiaism. Kufa, and to a lesser extent Baghdad, were hubs of development of deviant cults, but such cases were quite rare in Qum. In this regard, Modelong says that the Shiites of Qum were 12-verd Shiites, and there was no disunity among them. Asha'ira leaders dominated the city, and the governors of the Abbasid government were advocates of Shiaism. For this reason, Qum was the center of infallible Imam's hadith, which originated from Kufa and elsewhere, and were then compiled in Qum.
عن مدينة قم وسابقتها التاريخية في الإسلام. وهم البعض أن مدينة قم باعتبار الكلمة غير فارسية، وبحسب ظاهرها الآن هي كلمة مثلا عربية، فعل مفرد آمر. تصوروا أن المدينة تأسست في الإسلام، أو هذه البلدة، أو قل في بدايتها قرية تأسست بعد الإسلام، بينما هذا خلاف الواقع التاريخي. والواقع التاريخي وهناك شواهد كثيرة تدل على أن المدينة كانت قبل الإسلام، وكانت تسمى كوماندان بالفارسية، وإنما عربت إلى قم، عربت هذه الكلمة إلى قم بعد أن دخلها العرب المسلمون، وبصورة تدريجية خففت وعربت إلى هذه الكلمة كما هي الآن. وقمندان على وزن سائر أسماء أعلام البلدان في إيران، هناك كثير من أسماء أعلام البلدان في إيران على هذا الوزن، كما اسم إيران أيضا على هذا الوزن. وقمندان بمعنى الموضع التائه أو الضائع، باعتبار أن المنطقة الجغرافية لمدينة قم تقع فيما بين جبال تحيط بها من نواحي عديدة، من جانب إصفهان وأراك وكاشان وحتى من ناحية طهران. فكل هذه الطرق المؤدية إلى قم حينما يسلكها السالك إلى مدينة قم، ولا سيما إذا كان يأتي إليها ليلا في ظلام الليل، من حيث الساعة يجد أن المدينة يجب أن تكون قريبة، مقتربة، متقاربة، قد وصل إليها أو على مشارفها، بينما لا يجد لها أثرا في الواقع الخارجي، في المنظر، في المظهر، إلى أن يتعدى حاجزا جبليا من سلسلة جبال تحيط بهذه المدينة قريبا منها. وحينما يتعدى هذا الحاجز الجبلي يجد المدينة هي كما كان يتوقعها قريبة، وإنما هذا الحاجز الجبلي كان يحجز المنظر عن الناظر فيما بعد هذه الحواجز الجبلية. ولذلك سميت قمندان بمعنى الموضع التائه الضائع. ثم لما دخلها العرب حذفوا من الكلمة ما بقي ما بعد كلمة قم، وقم أيضا على قاعدة التعريب باعتبار عدم وجود كلمة حرف القاف في العربية عربت إلى القاف فأصبحت قم.
Qum is the first Shiite city in Iran with Shiism in it dating back to the late 1st century after Hujairah. While Iranians were generally hesitant whether to convert to Islam or adhere to their ancestors' religion, Qom wasted little time to convert, thanks largely to the large Arab population that lived there. As has been mentioned in the book entitled The History of Qom, one of the reasons that led to the Asha'ira Arabs inhabiting in Qom was that at first Iranian people resided in this city, but then the Arabs drove them out. According to some sources, this city was Arab inhabited up to the 4th century after Hijra. Abu Dalf says that the Qom was devoid of Persians in that century. Ibn Halghal states that the residents of Qom were Arabs, but they spoke Persian.
Qom was the first Shiite city in Iran, and it was known as the small Kufa, implying that it is in fact Kufa that is regarded as the true origin of Shiism in the history of Islam. When Kufa failed to host and protect Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, it tried to somehow hide this failure. And after the Penitence Revolution, which occurred in the years 64 and 65 AH, too, ended in defeat. The people of Kufa tried to make Shiism triumphant through the Mukhtar Uprising and to spread the statements and acts of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and introduce people to the Alavi Islam. But this revolution failed too, and Shiism was nipped in the bud in the city of Kufa. When Hajjaj conquered Iraq in 73 AH, he adopted the policy of pressure against the Arab tribes. He ordered many of the great sheikhs who had participated in the Saffin battle in the year 36 and 37 and who were still alive, tried and executed or otherwise horribly mistreated them. It led their families to emigrate from Iraq, and the first place that occurred to them to go was to Iran, as it was near Kufa. In this way, the western part of Iran was gradually filled with Arab tribes, but they were still trying to move further east. Among the Shiite tribes that lived in Iraq was the Ash'ari tribe, who were Abu Musa Ash'ari's cousins and the descendants of Ibn Sa'ib Ash'ari. They were originally from Yemen and ardent advocates of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. The Yemenis and southern tribes were loyal to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, from the earliest of times. In the last years of Holy Prophet Muhammad's life, peace be upon him and his progeny, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, stayed in Yemen for 6 to 7 months. And he had some friends there who would later spread Shiism to Iraq. When these Arab tribes emigrated to Iran, the Ash'ari came to Qom and stayed in the city of Qom.
Among the Arabs that lived in Qom were the Ash'ariyun, who later came to be known as the Qomis. There are quite a few of the Imam's companions whose names are mentioned in Shiite books. The evidence of this city's allegiance to the Imams is the great number of hadith that describe the eminence of this city. The great number of these hadith points to the immense significance the Imams attached to Qom. In a hadith by Imam Sadiq, Qom is described as the sanctuary and the city of Shiites. It seems very natural for a city so ardently and pervasively Shiite, and yet so geographically distant from the center of Shiism. In any case, Qom was so overwhelmingly Shiite with such great eminence that one of the Shiite scholars in the early centuries wrote a book named On the Eminence of Qom and Kufa.
A very important point in this regard is the great number of Iranian Shiite scholars who have actually created very valuable books, you know. In the early 4th century, when Imam Mahdi's alayhi salam, shorter occultation had not in fact ended yet. There lived a great Iranian scholar by the name of Sheikh Khomeini, who came from the city of Ray, where in southern Tehran today, and who had come to great eminence. In his lifetime, he actually compiled the Shia Hadith Encyclopedia, and within the 60 years of his death in 329, another great person by the name of Ibn Bawiyah, but better known as Sheikh Saduq, came to eminence in Qom. Well and good. He also compiled a great number of valuable hadith books, which include Imams and the Prophets' words and sayings, and made great efforts to promote Shiism before his death in the year 385. The book by Sheikh Saduq called For One Who Finds No Jurist, we know where there is no jurist to guide the person, he actually has an interesting story regarding how the book came to be written, which actually doesn't concern us here. In fact, it is a very important book, you know, and to be honest, it's had a great role in clarifying Shiite beliefs, the beliefs that today we are supporting.
The long-standing presence of Shiism in the city of Qom is not hard to notice. As of the year 100 after Hijrat, there have been Iranians living in the various villages of Qom. But it was the Ash'ari Arabs that built the city of Qom gradually and made it into an important center of Shiism. Many villages' names were named after great Shiite figures of Ash'ari, as can be seen in the book The History of Qom, written in the 4th century. At times, Shiites entered that region and settled there. Yaqubi says that some people that immigrated to Qom had been from the Madhaj tribe. It was Malik Ashtar's tribe, and its members were descendants of Malik Ashtar. There were also some Alawis, descendants of Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, living in Qom, contributing to the city, becoming a center of Shiism.
وكما أسلفنا الإشارة لم يكن الأشعريون القوميون الكوفيون اليمينيون بالأصالة العرب لم يكونوا شيعة إلا بالمعنى العام للكلمة بمعنى الولاء والحب والمودة لأهل البيت ولعلي عليه السلام وأبناء علي لكن لما نزحوا إلى قم ارتبطوا بالأئمة من أبناء الحسين ولا سيما الإمام الباقر والإمام الصادق وهكذا نشأ تشيعهم أو تكامل تشيعهم التشيع العقيدي الصحيح وأصبحوا من المحدثين بأحاديث الأئمة من أهل البيت من ذرية الحسين عليه السلام وبصورة تدريجية تطورت مدينة قم وهؤلاء المحدثون بقم أصبحوا يشكلون مدرسة الحديث من أقدم مدارس الحديث من المحدثين على حديث وبحديث أئمة أهل البيت عليهم السلام مدرسة الحديث في هذه المدينة مدينة قم المقدسة وهناك كتب تؤرخ لهذا المعنى ونماذج عديدة من هؤلاء المؤرخين وأسماء من المحدثين وأسماءهم موجودة في أسناد وطرق الإجازة الروائية وأسناد الروايات كثير من الأحاديث والروايات مروية من خلالهم ومن طرقهم على إلى مستوى أن ورد عن الإمام الصادق عليه السلام لولا القميون لن درست آثار أبي يعني أحاديث أبيه الإمام الباقر عليه السلام
The Shiism of Qom was the true and original Shiism. and was more original than Shiism of Iraq. There was an Arab tribe in Qom whose members were loyal to the 12 Imams, peace be upon them. When any of the Imams was martyred, the people of Qom traveled to Medina or to Iraq to swear allegiance to the next Imam. Meanwhile, they learned some hadith, which they passed on to the others on their return to Qom. In Qom, there occurred no trace of the deviant thoughts or cults whatsoever. The Ash'ari Arabs living in Qom were devout real Shiites. Today, many people of Qom have the title Ash'ari added to the end of their family names. Taking a look at the books Usul al-Kafi and Furu' al-Kafi, we will notice every hadith having a document ascribed to the people of Qom. The names of many Qomi and Ash'ari narrators are referred to in the documents of hadith. Many of these people were compilers of hadith or narrations and venerated by the Imams themselves. There is no doubt that the Imam Hassan Askari Mosque in the city of Qom was built on the order of Imam Hassan Askari himself, peace be upon him. It was built between 240 and 250 after Hijrat and was paid for by the Imam himself. At that time, there were no Sunnis amongst the Ash'ari, save one or two of them, who moved to Ray, allowing the tribe to remain totally Shiite. One of the benefits of the Shiites' presence in Qom was the spread of Shiism to the city of Kashan. The old geography texts containing references to Qom point to the most prominent feature of it as being populated by Shiites. The same geography books refer to the city of Kashan as being a completely Shiite city, with Shiism having spread to Kashan from Qom. It was the same for Aveh, a city situated between Qom and Saveh, where it is known as Ja'farabad today. Aveh was a completely Shiite city, with its Shiism and that of Qom finally finding its way to Farahan, now known as Araj, where it used to be referred to as the Persian Iraq. There were such villages as Tafresh, Karaj, Abi Dalf near Araj, but they are unfortunately completely lost today. All those regions were Shiite, having converted to Shiism in the 2nd and 3rd centuries after Hijrat. We now know the names of the Shiite scholars that lived there. There were such villages as Jasb, where many Shiite scholars and narrators of hadith lived in the 4th and 5th centuries. It can be said that Shiism also spread to Dilijan. From there, it spread to Mashhad Ardahal, where one of Imam Baqir's sons is buried. Hence the name of the city, Mashhad, meaning the place of martyrdom.
The readers and followers of Sheikh Sadhu were, in fact, not present all over Iran. But in any case, he was active in his own city, Qom. He managed to create some important works and contributed greatly to defining Shiism, even after his own time. Well, obviously, not all of the important figures can be mentioned in the short time we have now. Anyway, this is an important issue, and I think should be discussed in detail. One of the other important points of this time, which deserves careful consideration, is how the Shiism of Iraq, centered in Baghdad, cooperated with the Shiism in Qom. And by Qom, I mean its extended meaning, including Ray too.
Let us draw a circle with a radius of about 150 to 200 kilometers, centered on the city of Qom. It would be the zone containing the territory of Shiism, starting from Qom and expanding in all directions. With some Shiite families migrating from the city of Qom to the city of Ray, Shiism spread to Ray too. As can be seen on the map, Tehran, or Ray, connected the east to the west and the north to the south. From the south, there was a road leading to Tehran, passing through Fars, Isfahan, and Qom. There was a road in the west, starting from Kermanshah and passing through Hamadan, Saveh, Aveh, Qom, and Ray, or connected Saveh to Ray directly. Ray was also in the middle of the road leading to the north, and in the north of Ray, there was a region now known as Tehran and Lavasan. Shiism also spread towards the east, passing through Semnan, Damghan, Sabzavar, and reaching as far as Khorasan. When Shiism predominated in Ray, from there it spread to many regions in central Iran, including such cities as around Ray as the cities of Qazvin, Semnan, and Damghan. In the west of Iran, however, there was not much to talk about regarding spreading of Shiism. The Hamadan and Azerbaijan regions, however, were fairly Shiite by the 4th and 5th centuries after Hijri. In the central part of Iran, on the other hand, Shiism had spread very extensively at the time in the 5th and 6th centuries after Hijrat. Immigration of the Alevi Sayyids to Iran was one of the most important causes of the spread of Shiism in Iran. As I briefly mentioned before, Arab tribes immigrated to Iran, and the immigration of the Alevi Sayyids was particularly significant in this regard. It is said that this immigration was not only at the time of Hajjaj and Bani Umayyah, and there were not many Alevis living in Iran at that time. There were some outstanding Shiite personalities living in Iran, having immigrated to Iran after the Zayd ibn Abi Talib revolution. Among those personalities was Yahya ibn Zayd ibn Ali, who had even traveled as far as Taleghan region in Afghanistan. Later, during the reign of the Abbasid caliphs, many Alevis immigrated to Iran. What was most noteworthy was the pressure Mansur exerted on Alevis after Nafs Zakiya's son and his brother Ibrahim had revolted against him, forcing them to flee to other cities. In the wake of the Martir Fakh uprising in the year 269 after Hijrat, some other Alevis emigrated to Iran, coming to prominence and ruling over various cities in Iran. By the time of Imam Reza's historic migration to Khorasan, there were a great many Alevis living in Iran. The migration of Alevis to Iran had many reasons. First of all, the further they moved from the central caliphate, the less pressure they had to endure. They considered the Abbasid caliphs as their rivals, but in fact, it was they that were the Abbasids' rivals. Also, the Iranian people, like the peoples of African Egypt, welcomed the Alevis in the warmest possible manner. The Alevi Sayyids were devoted to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, most ardently, of course. It does not mean, however, that there were no Sunni Sayyids, as they occur in great numbers throughout the Islamic world today. The environment had its own impact, of course, but most of the Alevi Sayyids were Shiites.